is your wonderful name. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Once again, we are so glad for the presence of the Lord. And we're glad for each and every one that is here. We are so glad to be in Madera, California, again with my good friend, Brother Garza, and his family in this fine church. Amen. We always look forward to coming, amen, this time of year, and also for PATH conference. And it almost looks a little bit like PATH here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Claude made mention of that. But we've been having a wonderful time, and I appreciate what God is doing. This church has been in revival for a few months here, and that revival spirit is still here. Amen. And I certainly hope and pray tonight that those that need the Holy Ghost will get the Holy Ghost, and those that need their healing will get their healing. Those that need deliverance will get deliverance. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we know God is able. Praise the Lord. We're in the right place for all that to happen. Amen. And all of it can happen in God's house. Amen. I want to say it's good to see Brother and Sister Allen and those that have come with him tonight. And good to see Brother and Sister Klon and his family and those that come with them tonight. And those from Brother Sailor's church. Amen. And also we want to give honor again to good Elder Wheeler and Sister Wheeler. We love and appreciate them so much. And I want to give them honor tonight also. Amen. And I know God is able to do anything. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Where's the power at? In us. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, Jesus said that I'll give you water to drink that would be a well of living water springing up from the inside. Can you imagine if we, all of us tonight, that have the Holy Ghost can get that well flowing? Can you imagine what could happen if we can get the well flowing tonight? According to the power that worketh in us, the Holy Ghost power. Amen is what I'm talking about tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to sing, and tonight we've got those of you that are here for the first time, we got a brand new CD out that just came out a little over a week ago, and it's brand new. I got another new CD also that has different artists, different apostolic artists on it. I think it's six different artists. Seven different apostolic artists on it, each singing two songs each, and the apostolic boys are on there also. This new CD that we got out, it's not the apostolic boys, it's called Apostolic Voice, but it's got some apostolic boys in it. Amen, praise the Lord. But that's a brand new CD, and I'm going to sing a song from that CD. Some of y'all may have heard me sing it before, but we recorded it, and then I'm going to sing a couple other songs. One song has been requested, and then we're going to get to the word of the Lord today. Amen? Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. And glad for what we know what God can do. Amen. Y'all worship. Amen. Tonight. Praise the Lord.
Just a touch of grace.
Amen. I've been preaching too much. I'm sorry. I don't have a voice tonight. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's go live. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all worship.
We still believe in holiness in this church.
Praise the Lord. Well, to wear me out. Oh, Lord. Praise God. I thought I was in better shape. After yesterday and all week, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all pray the anointing hits here. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, amen, amen. I'm ready to go to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Tonight, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have never preached this message before, and I was reading something, and something just jumped out at me, and I guess the thing around here is that Wednesday night when I preached, that was the first time I preached in 2 months. And so I said I might be a little rusty, sound like an amateur. And so I didn't preach in a while, but during that time we were in revival and I didn't preach. You know, I did some studying and things like that. And I came up with this message tonight, and I already felt to preach it here. Amen. And, you know, I'm sure I'll preach it at home, but I really felt to preach it here. I just didn't know when. And as I sought the Lord about what to preach all the other services, amen, I felt to preach the message that I preached. But tonight, amen, this is what I feel that I've had for, you know, for these services. And, you know, like I said, so I haven't preached it on this matter before. Amen. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Praise the Lord. I want to preach tonight on this subject from the 10th verse, the last phrase of the 10th verse, the manifold grace of God. Amen. Brother Garza knows that I preach a lot of grace. Amen. As Brother Clark may know that too. Praise the Lord. That is one of my favorite subjects to preach. But yet, it's also one of the most misunderstood. And I've realized that when preaching it, it's hard for you to relate to it. It's hard to relate to it and grasp it. And I know that there have been many places that I have preached the grace of God. They didn't understand anything I was preaching. Because they were all tied into one aspect of grace. And some apostolics think grace is a denominal word. They think it's, too liberal to preach grace. I remember there was a preacher that preached grace at a big meeting. And he preached it real good, but there was preachers walking out there saying, "I didn't come to hear a Baptist message tonight." You know, and so, grace is real. It
anybody that should know grace, it should be apostolics. And I know that I'm in a church tonight with some pastors here, people here. Amen. Brother Klein did an excellent job at Encores that we heard the last part. Amen. He was preaching on grace. Praise the Lord. And so I believe I'm in a place tonight where I have the liberty and feel the liberty, amen, to preach this message tonight. Amen. The manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Garza, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all pray. God, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Savior. I need your help tonight, Lord God. Lord, no, God, this is a place with the words of my mouth to speak. I need to feel your love. I need to feel your power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, mighty Savior, I can do nothing without you, Lord. Help me, God. Hallelujah, Savior. Lord, you come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your response and your prayer. Amen. The manifold grace of God. The word manifold means marked by diversity or variety. It's many, comprehending or uniting various features. Another word for it is multifarious. Another definition of manifold is rightfully so called for many reasons. Amen. Consisting of or operating many of one kind combined. Amen. And this is what Peter, amen, calls grace. Manifold. Manifold grace of God. Amen. That it's marked by diversity and variety. Amen. It's rightfully so called for many reasons. Amen. And Peter says, as we have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, naturally, the various meanings of the word grace were simply taken over from ordinary language by the New Testament writers. And so it is quite illegitimate to try to construct on the basis of all the occurrences of the word grace to a single doctrine that would account for all the various usages. Most of the discussions of biblical doctrine of grace have been faulty in narrowing the meaning of grace to some special sense, and then endeavoring to force this special sense on all the biblical passages about grace. Amen. Grace is manifold. Amen. It has many definitions. It has many facets. Praise the Lord. And the word facet means any of the definable aspects that make up a subject. Amen. Or an object of consideration. Amen. There are many facets of the grace of God. And tonight, I want to preach about them, amen, in this sense that there are many facets, a manifold grace of God. Amen. And the Bible says that we ought to be stewards of the manifold grace. Amen. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whatever gifts or endowments any man may possess, they are, properly speaking, they're not his own. Amen. They are the Lord's property. Amen. It belongs to God. And we are employed in his work, and so it should promote his glory. Amen. It's for his glory. There's a saying that says it's by his grace and for his glory. Amen. God is to get all the glory. No flesh shall glory in his presence. But all the glory must go to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When it's by his grace, then he can get the glory. But when it's by us, we'll get the glory. this as we go on. But before I get into the manifold grace of God, amen, let me get into this facet of grace, amen, which is the bad side of grace. Amen. Jews said, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean the bad side of grace, but rather, amen, what men are turning grace into. Amen. They're turning grace into lasciviousness. Amen. The word lasciviousness means lewd, lustful, unbridled lust, excess, outrageousness, wantonness. Amen. It also means insolence, which is proud. Amen. So lasciviousness is a lewd, lustful thing. Amen. That many people are turning the grace of God into. This kind of grace is destroying many churches. This kind of grace is destroying many apostolic people today. Because this is a perverted grace. Amen. It's a grace that makes excuse for their sin and for their love for the world. Amen. It's a grace that is perverted. Praise the Lord. Amen. They're leaning and reaching for spiritual loopholes to justify their unbridled lust for more of the world. Amen. So they're changing Bible terminology for more catchy phrases. Amen. Of the mainstream charismatic jargon, such as, that's your conviction, or that's a personal conviction. Amen. They're starting to use this rhetoric. Amen. Rhetoric statements such as, you got to keep up with modern technology. Amen. Or that's modern Pentecost. Amen. I don't care about no modern Pentecost. Amen. I'm glad for the old past, because therein is the good way. I'm glad for the old landmarks. I'm glad I'm in an old-fashioned church. I'm glad I'm in an old-time church. I'm glad I'm in the middle of old-time worship. I'm glad we're still singing the old-time songs. I'm not interested in modern Pentecost. I'm not interested in modern worship. Oh, no. I'm not interested in progressive church. I'm not interested in none of that. I want the old-time way. I said I want the old-time way. It still takes prayer before church. It still takes getting the hold of God. Hallelujah. We can't do carnal things and expect to move on God. It takes spiritual things to get spiritual results. Amen. But that's what they say. That's too old-fashioned. Amen. Praise the Lord. Music is one of the main things in turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. By the more sensual singing. And the more important, and the importance of having to feel the beat. That sensual singing is more breathy than it is voice. Yeah. Oh, I can't stand that. They're trying to sound sensual. Trying to sound sexy. That's not apostolic. They're trying to sound like the world. They don't care about whether or not they're anointed or not. Amen. But they're trying to appeal. Amen. They're trying to appeal to the flesh. They're trying to appeal, amen, to the lust. Amen. They don't care about whether or not they are anointed. Amen. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of singing out there that's inspired. Amen. But you know what? I want singing that is anointed. churches with us that no prayer before church. But boy, when the music strikes up and they start singing, amen, then they put on their little show. Amen. It may sound good. You know, inspiration feels good. Amen. You know, when you have church just on inspiration alone, amen, it could feel good. But you know what? Ain't nothing happening. Amen. There's no power there. We need the anointing because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You know, we were going to a meeting one time, and two young men wanted to change the oil in the church van, and they couldn't get the filter off. We waited and waited and waited. And so, finally said, oh, well, I guess the church van ain't going. So me and another brother went to the meeting. I got there real late. Got to the platform and knelt down and prayed a little bit. Said, Brother Grace, come on up to the pulpit. Sing, testify. I said, well, I'm definitely not going to sing. Because I'm late. I just got here. I haven't prayed. I hadn't worshiped. I haven't touched God. And if I sing, all it's going to be is a show. I'm not saying. I'm not even going to testify. Not even going to testify. Amen. Because that'll be the show. If I don't touch God or get a hold of God, then you know, then ain't no sense getting up doing nothing. Praise the Lord. So I said, my son, he was here for prayer. I'll let my son sing today. And so I'll just give you all a good report. And I gave him a good report that it was a fellowship meeting. For fundraising for our camp meeting. So I said, I'll just give you the good report that both of the speakers that we tried to get, they agreed to preach our meeting. And a good applause. And I said, come on, Jared, you come on and sing. And I went and sat down. Hallelujah. Amen. But we got many churches out there where the musicians come, they come in late. I see them coming in 10 minutes late carrying their instrument. And they walk straight to the platform. After the service has already started. Hallelujah. You know, there's something about, you know, that's not my message, but you know what? David said, hey, Levi, sanctify yourself. Before you pick up the ark, you sanctify yourself. Before you do a duty for the Lord, you sanctify yourself. You pray, you get cleansed, you get washed, you make sure you touch God, you sanctify yourself before you pick up that instrument, you sanctify yourself before you pick up that microphone, you sanctify yourself before you sing that song. Oh, hallelujah. Because that's what the anointing is. The word anointing means a special endowment of the Holy Ghost. Is a special endowment of the Holy Ghost. Special. It's special. The anointing is special. And we need to keep it special. Don't mistake an inspiration for anointing. Anybody can get inspired. Obama can get inspired. I'm not looking for just inspiration. I want the anointing. Because I know when somebody's anointed, they touch God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And so, we're seeing a lot of that today. Amen. In apostolic churches. Just because they got the ability, just because they got the skill, they think they're doing something. They play good, they sing good, sound good. All of that. You know, I was at a church, no prayer before service, like I said. But boy, they got up to sing. Boy, they put on their show. They ran the aisles. You know what? You can feel the difference. Hallelujah. I was so mad. I got up, and we were supposed to sing that night. Amen. That was not voice for the sing. But I might have did more preaching than I did singing. Well, I can't remember I preached that night. But I know what a message I preached. I preached the message, God in you of a truth. Hallelujah. He'll be convinced of all. Amen. That God is in you of a truth. When there's anointing, you know God's in you of a truth. When there's anointing, you know God's in the place of the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, no wonder many apostolic churches are filled with fornication among its young people, all because they use grace to excuse and disguise their lust. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. Lascivious grace allows compromise. It allows sin to sit on the pew. And they live a lifestyle of rebellion against the pulpit. It allows rebellion to sit there. It allows a lifestyle of rebellion to sit there. Oh, as long as you're paying the tithes, as long as you're coming to church, as long as you're on the roll. Amen. But yeah, they're rebelling against the pulpit, sitting there with a bad spirit and a bad attitude. Lascivious grace will allow it to sit there. Amen. Or they'll say, come with your television. Come with your wedding bands. Come with your rings and movies. Come with your immodest dress. Come with all your worldly attachments. Because we will help you. Amen. But you know what that kind of help is? That idea of help is just keep sitting there with your sins and hopefully one day you'll get it. Oh, yeah. You know, and you see, a lot of these big churches out there, that's what it is come and sit there. Come and sit there in your sin. Hopefully one day you'll get it. Hopefully one day you'll observe and you'll see it. Lascivious grace does not preach holiness in separation with conviction from the pulpit anymore. But let them pick it up by observing the standards. Or gently explaining it to them on a one-on-one basis. Oh, yeah, that's what we have today in a lot of churches. We're still saved by preaching. If they're going to get it, I believe it needs to be preached. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But you see, this kind of grace can never build a strong apostolic church. It will never allow the manifold grace of God to work. Amen. When you allow sin in the church and you use grace to justify it, that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe that sexual immorality is a very serious sin. It's nothing to play with. Praise the Lord. Amen. I told Brother Garza, you know, that there's a couple scriptures there. Said, flee fornication. Flee fornication. For all sin is without the body. But fornication is a sin against your own body. That's sin against your own body. Fornication is sin against your own body. And this body, I'm talking about people that have the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about people that have the Holy Ghost. When you have the Holy Ghost and you sin against your body, you are defiling the temple of God. And the Bible says, he that defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. Hallelujah. fornication is not the unpardonable sin. No. It's not blasphemy. No. Amen. We know people commit fornication, they can be saved. Praise the Lord. They can repent. Amen. But there's got to be some real repentance. There's got to be some real remorse there. Amen. Or else that temple will be destroyed because it's a sin against their own body. We're talking about fornication, adultery, homosexuality, incest, the umbrella word fornication, pornia. It means all of that. Oh, can I preach like this tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, and if you're clean and pure, it's best you stay clean and pure. You cherish a very great treasure. Because when you sin against your own body, hallelujah, it's not easy after that. It's not easy after that. Him will God destroy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's just the book. I know that's hard, but that's the book. And you know what? It needs to be preached hard. People need to hear it hard. You know why? Because when you think, oh, I can go and commit fornication and I can ask for forgiveness and I'll be all right. But no, it's a sin against your own body. You're defiling the temple of God when you sin against your own body. Somebody needs to hear it. It's not that easy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So don't just think you can go do it and you'll be all right. Hallelujah. But you see, that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Oh, that's just a known problem among Pentecost. That's just a known problem. Amen. Well, like I preached this morning, we must fulfill all righteousness. We must live right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Titus 2 and 11, amen, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. It says that we must deny ungodliness. The word deny means to refuse to accept as true or right. Reject as unfounded, unreal. To refuse to acknowledge as one's own. You to disown it, repudiate it. To refuse to use of it or to access to it. Amen. You deny ungodliness. You deny worldly lust. Amen. This is what the grace of God teaches. It doesn't teach you, hey, that you can sin and repent of it and be all right. No, the grace of God does not teach that. The grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It doesn't teach us, amen, oh, we will be saved by the grace of God. The grace of God will keep you. The grace of God is sufficient for you. Yes, it is, and we know it is. But that doesn't mean that it's all right to sin. No, shall we sin that God's grace may abound? God forbid, no. It's a teacher, and it teaches you to deny it, deny it, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly Pentecost. I'm not going to accept even ungodliness. I'm not going to accept carnality. I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to deny it. Because this is what the grace of God teaches. If the grace of God is not teaching you to deny ungodliness, then you got the wrong grace. Amen. Because grace is a teacher. Praise the Lord. In order to get the manifold grace of God to work in a person's life, they must first see that grace is a teacher and not a condoner. Amen. But you see, somehow that the lascivious grace, the nominal grace, kind of filters its way in. And many apostolics try to lean that way to condone what's going on. Amen. It's important to notice the exact details that the apostle's presenting concerning the nature and function of grace and his daily purpose in our life. Saving grace is an ongoing teacher. So what does it teach? And how does it teach? The what is defined in the verse itself, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. This is polar opposite from what is being taught in the lascivious grace crowd. They're so deprived of spiritual conscience and bankrupt of the knowledge of the Holy God, they can't even define what worldly lust even means. The lascivious grace crowd, they can't even define worldly lust. What does it mean? What does worldly lust mean? Hallelujah. You know why? Because when they dress sensual, when they dress to appeal to the opposite sex, when they do all these hairdos, wear all these tight outfits, it's long but it's tight. See, they can't define worldly lust. Can't define it. Don't know how to define it. Don't know what it looks like. Because grace ain't teaching. Lascivious grace is trying to teach. But the real grace of God is not teaching. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Some of y'all may say, I think you need to trash this message. Don't bring it at home. Praise God. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Amen. It's not teaching when they cannot define what worldly lust even means, what ungodliness means. But worldly lust simply means an uncontrollable, insatiable desire for the very things that make the world tick. Cosmos is the Greek word for world, which means a system of beliefs and concepts that better represent man and his nature. Amen. It's not just going out there in the world, but it's thinking like the world. The world's beliefs, the world's system, doing it the way the world does it because of the way you think. And that's why, amen, we need good, strong, Holy Ghost anointed preaching that's going to preach the word of God so you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. So you can think like God. So you can think like the word of God. So you can think the right way and don't rely on your own thinking. Because you came from the world, you're going to think like the world. You may have come out of the world, but now we got to get the world out of you. And to get the world out of you, amen, that is not just, amen, just that, just the worldliness of the physical nature, but getting the world out of you is getting you to stop thinking like the world. Amen. So many people are used to doing it the way the world does it. We don't think like the world. But many apostolic churches, they think like the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. The world wants entertainment. And many apostolic churches are thinking like the world because they're bringing entertainment in. Amen. Rather than consecration and devotion and commitment and getting the Holy God so the anointing can come in our services. Thinking like the world. Why? Because they can't define worldly lust. Can't define it. Amen. Because grace is not teaching. this tonight, but I'm going to preach. So y'all, you keep helping me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's what cosmos, that's the word, for the Greek word for world. Amen. And it represents a system of beliefs and concepts. So the lust for the world is a strong desire to follow after the world. How? Through the trends of dress, entertainment, concepts that reflect the way the world thinks. That's why you see the smoke machines, and that's why you see the different color lights. That's why you see those poses now. Bringing rap in the apostolic meeting. Having talent shows with rap music. Huh? That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You know, on our new CD cover, I say, y'all make sure y'all smile. We don't want none of them cool looks. That's the way the world takes their pictures on their CV. That's the way the world takes their pictures. See, y'all see what I'm talking about here tonight? You know why your pastor's preaching like he's preaching? Because he's trying to also get that worldly thinking out of your mind. Don't want you thinking like the world. Don't want you picking up the spirit of the world. Don't want to pick what you picking up the actions of the world. Don't want you picking up the ways of the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's what the grace of God must do. It must teach us. Teach us to deny. To deny it. Y'all know what deny means? I try to define it, but y'all got to get that. Refuse it. Don't play around with it. Don't see how far you can go with it. That's why, you know, the first teaching of grace came from Adam. Adam was the first messenger of grace. Amen. God said, don't eat the fruit, lest you die. Adam preached grace and said, don't touch it. Praise the Lord. If you don't touch it, you don't eat it. So grace was teaching, deny it. Don't even touch it. Deny it. Refuse it. Don't even go nowhere near it. Praise the Lord. It teaches to deny. That's what the grace of God teaches. To deny. Deny. You, when the grace of God is really working in your life, it's going to teach you to deny it. Deny. Deny. Deny it. Refuse it. Reject it. Means you're not going to have no friends that engage in it. You're not going to have no fellowship that engages in it. Why? Because you're denying it. You're rejecting it. You're refusing it. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, grace is a teacher that promotes the way God thinks. promotes the way he thinks, his concepts, his dress, his nature. An earthly sensual lifestyle does not fit a heavenly calling. Praise the Lord. And so you see, grace teaches that if I allow ungodliness and worldly lust in my life, it will prevent God from working in and through me. God will not be able to perform his will through me. So grace, which is divine influence upon the heart and the reflection of God's holiness in my life. For God said, be you holy, for I am holy. So you see, without grace, it's law. It's what we are doing. With grace, it's God and what he is doing. If I only live holy because that's what the Bible says, then I'm a law keeper. But if I live holy because of the divine influence upon my heart, that's God working in me because of the seed, which is the word of God and the spirit within me that causes me to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments, then it's grace. It's that seed that's got to get planted in me. That seed is an incorruptible seed. That seed is the word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. And when that gets planted in me, hallelujah, and it gets watered, it's going to grow and bring forth the fruits of God, the fruits of righteousness. Then the grace of God can work in me and through me. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's not what I am. It's what I am and not what I do. I do this because of what I am. Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. He said, I labored more than they all. And he fixed and said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He gave God the glory. He said, wait a minute. I labored more than they all. That sounds like me boasting. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. See, when you mention by the grace of God, that's giving God the glory. When you talk about what you've done, what I've done, that's why those people didn't make it, huh? Have not we cast out devils in your name? Have not we done many wonderful works in your name? Have not we prophesied in your name? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why was their work iniquity? Because it was them. Hallelujah. But when it's God doing it through you, that's the grace of God. When it's law, the attention is on us. When it's grace, God gets the glory. Amen. Now, verse 11, looking at the next verse in my text, we see how the grace of God works. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Which who giveth? What God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's through the ability which God gives so that God may be glorified. Amen. Through Jesus Christ who lives in you and through you by the blood and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as we minister and as we serve, let's do it by the grace of God, the ability that God gives us and is not of our own self. Amen. And so, the grace of God is really nothing more than the Holy Ghost in you, living through you. Amen. That's what the grace of God is. Amen. If you can think more about grace this way, that's the Holy Ghost working in me. That's the Holy Ghost working through me. That's what Paul, one aspect of grace amen, that he uses. One of the manifold things of grace that he uses is that it's the Holy Ghost working through me. Why? Because it's the divine influence. That's one definition of grace. Divine influence. Think about that. When you were born into sin, you're influenced by the world. You're influenced by sin. That's your influence, right? When you come to God and get the Holy Ghost, it's divine influence. The influence changes. You're no longer influenced by the world and by its way of thinking. That's why grace is a teacher. Now you're influenced by what you hear preached and taught from the pulpit. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a divine. It's the word divine means it's of God. It's the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in you doing the work. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you're being influenced by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in you. That's influencing you. Praise the Lord. That's living through you. So when you think about the grace of God, amen, think more so on that line. And so in order for the grace of God to work in a manifold way in my life, I've got to get this grace. You see, now that's the problem. You got to know how to get it. You got to know how to get access to it. Because not everybody got the grace of God working in their life. Amen. Got to get a hold of it. After it has appeared unto you, now you got to get a hold of it. It's appeared, but now I got to get a hold of it. I got to access it. Praise the Lord. It's appeared to all men, but the appearance don't save. I got to get access to it. I got to get a hold of it. That's grace. I'm going to talk about two ways to get grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2 and 8, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Romans 5, 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This saving grace works by faith. Grace through faith. To access grace, or in other words, to lay hold to grace, one must first employ faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You're not going to access grace without faith. And how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Grace that saves is in direct proportion to how much faith you have. It's faith in God, not in myself. Amen. You see, we can get puffed up. We can get full of pride and all of that because of what we're doing. Praise the Lord. But you see, it can't be that. No, it's got to be. It's got to be, again, what God is doing. Praise God. It's got to be faith in Him. Faith in God, not myself. Some people get puffed up because they keep looking at themselves. And some people get condemned because they keep looking at themselves. Our faith has got to be in God. He can do it. God can do it. Amen. So grace saves. Grace that saves is in direct proportion to how much faith you have. Or how much preaching you are willing to incorporate in your life through submission and obedience to the preaching. In the new covenant, God chose the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. So grace is teaching us the nature of God, how to live godly, soberly, and righteous in this present world. Amen. Through the fivefold ministry. Amen. So what does grace teach? Not only does it teach to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but it teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what grace teaches. Hallelujah. You see, thank God we got the right kind of grace working here. We got the right kind of grace because it's teaching you how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's not teaching you how to get away with sin. It's not teaching you how to be a hypocrite. That's where a lot of people use grace. Praise the Lord. But it teaches you to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Our obedience to the preached word will determine how much grace we access in our life. Amen. So one way to access grace is by faith. And the other way to access grace is through humility. Amen. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God will not open the understanding of the proud. The proud will not get the word of God. The manifold grace of God will not work with the proud because God resists them. He resists the proud. If we're saved by grace, then we must give grace to be saved. We got to know how to access grace. God gives more grace, but he only gives it to the humble. The humble have broken up. The humble have broken up the fallow ground of their heart so the word of God can fall on the good ground of their heart. The humble get the manifold grace of God to work in their life because he keeps giving them more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace, more grace. Hallelujah. He gives it to the humble. He doesn't give it to the proud. He resists the proud. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Hallelujah. So that's why we don't humble ourselves and repent, and we don't die daily, we're not getting grace. We're not getting the grace to save us, but God gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Oh, when you realize how much you really need God to make it, when you realize, oh God, I really need you. God, I can't make it without you. I mean, you ought to have a daily prayer life. Hallelujah. And every day when you get down to pray, you ought to say, God, I need you. I can't make it without you, Lord. Let me just make it plain, okay? Let me just make it plain. I tell my church, amen, if you can go day after day without praying, you ain't got no grace. Ain't no grace working because you haven't humbled yourself. In other words, you say, God, I can do it all today on my own. I don't need you. I can do it all on my own today. I don't need you to lead me. I don't need you to think. I don't need you to direct my path. I don't need you to direct my steps. I can do it all by myself today when you haven't asked God. You have not because you ask not. And if we think that we can just live day after day without praying, we're fooling ourselves. We're taking God for granted. I said, we're taking God for granted. But if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Will humble themselves and pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Because you see, you can pray wrong too, can't you? Like the two men that went to the temple to pray. One man prayed, thank God, I'm not like the Pharisee. I fast 3 times a week to give tithes of all. He prayed, didn't he? He went to the temple and prayed every day. Probably so. Amen. But when he did, that's how he prayed. But the publican prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So just because you pray doesn't mean you're humbling yourself to pray. Because God gives grace to the humble. I gotta realize how much I need God. stirring up devils. Been stirring up devils. Amen. And oh, it's never been so easy to go before the Lord and weep and cry as it is right now. Oh, God knows how to do things to break you. Because if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get broken. If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to get broken and contrite. You're going to have to get humble. I'd rather humble myself than God to humble me. I said I'd rather humble myself than rather have God to humble me. Because when God humbles us, it's not pleasant, it's not good. Oh, is somebody hearing me tonight? Humble yourself and pray. In doing this, you get access to His grace. So the two ways I'm talking about accessing grace is through faith and humility. Amen. That's how you get grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all still with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, it's got to be, it's the humble because they've broken up the fallow ground of their heart. Amen. The manifold grace of God works in many ways. Again, a mistake made when grace is narrowed down to one definition or one concept. That's a mistake. And there's many that teach that grace is the unmerited favor of God. That's only one definition of grace. That's not all that grace is. Because grace, unmerited favor, they teach, you can't merit it. There's nothing you can do to get it. That's the way they teach unmerited favor. And you know what? That turns grace into lasciviousness. Because they believe that grace is unmerited. There's nothing you have to do to get it. God just gives it. That's the way the denominator world teaches unmerited favor of grace. One definition of unmerited is not to be worthy of. Well, a believer is worthy. For he's counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Isn't that what Paul said? But counted worthy of the kingdom of God. In order for us to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, we must first be counted worthy of God's grace. And how can we be worthy of His grace? Humbling ourselves. And having faith and believing what we're hearing preached. For it's by grace that we are saved through faith. To the sinner is unmerited, but to the believer it's not. To the sinner it's unmerited favor, because when grace appeared to them, it had nothing to do with who they are or what they are. And they knew nothing for it to come there. It's appeared to all men. That's unmerited favor. Praise the Lord. Now the Greek definition never says unmerited favor. Only Webster Dictionary calls it unmerited favor. So I'll give Webster some credit there, because to the sinner, they don't merit it for it to appear to them. They don't merit it for it to come to them. Hallelujah. But after it appears, after it comes, then you have to access it. You've got to get a hold of it. Praise the Lord. So it's no longer unmerited. It's no longer unmerited then. Amen. If grace was unmerited throughout the believer's life, then that believer could live like they wanted and still have access to grace. If grace is only unmerited favor. But shall we sin that God's grace may abound? God forbid. Grace is not a license to sin. It's a teacher of righteousness, godliness, soberness. It's a teacher of a holy, righteous living for the believer. That's what grace is. It's a teacher of that. It doesn't teach us how to sin and Because you see, this is what many people have turned grace into. All right, the manifold grace of God is the many facets and multiple dimensions of God's grace that works in our life on a daily basis. There's grace to heal. There's grace to forgive. There's a grace to deliver. There's a grace to sustain you. Amen. On a daily basis, there's grace that is sufficient for you. There's a grace to overcome. There's a grace to walk in dominion. There's a grace to love. There's a grace to keep God's commandments and live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Grace is a gift. Grace gives when it is needed. For by grace are you saved. Amen. Through faith, it's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Grace is a teacher, as we spoke about in Titus 2 and 12. Amen. Grace is also the favor of God. Oh, hallelujah. We all need favor, don't we? Grace is the favor of God. A good man obtained the favor of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we need God's favor in our life. Well, that's what God's grace is. Amen. It's also favor. It's a gift. It's power. It's anointing. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God working in you and through you. The many manifold, many facets of the grace of God. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a comforter. Praise the Lord. Grace is sufficient. It's enough to meet the needs of a situation or a proposed end. Grace brings revival. Grace teaches holiness. Grace saves. Grace keeps. Grace supplies power. Grace supplies anointing. Grace supplies, in other words, everything that you need from God, it comes by His grace. The grace of God that brings salvation. That brings salvation. Amen. Grace never works alone. It's always bringing something with it. Hallelujah. You need healing? God's grace will give it to you. You need the Holy Ghost? God's grace will give it to you. You need deliverance? God's grace will give it to you. Because you need it for your salvation. And it's the grace of God that brings salvation. It's hard preaching this. Some of you are getting it, some of you are not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm fixing to close. Amen. One of the most powerful definitions of grace in the Greek is a divine influence upon the heart and the reflection in the life, like what I talked about. The divine influence becomes one of the manifold facets of God's grace that is more powerful than all the rest. The divine influence must be working in our life and heart if we're going to be saved. It's where grace terminology becomes its finest. Divine influence on the heart. This is where the grace terminology becomes its finest. There's many scriptures where you could put grace in. And many of them, we just read it, we know it, we overlook it. We don't grasp and really see what it means. But there's some scriptures about grace that are so powerful. And it brings it to light in such a beautiful way. Praise the Lord. And if you didn't get anything tonight when I preached, as I close, I hope you're able to get this. Amen. Grace, this is its finest terminology right here. The best definition of divine influence upon the heart and the reflection in the life. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine. corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. You see, grace is a teacher, right? Praise the Lord. And when we get a hold of that divine nature, it helps us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through lust. Through lust. That's why, again, it teaches us to deny worldly lust. Praise the Lord. And so, grace being that divine influence upon the heart and that reflection in the life. I mentioned some of this, but I didn't get into it. But now I want to get into it as I am closing here soon. Praise the Lord. We are now partakers of the divine nature. Right? We're partakers of a divine nature. All right? We were born into a sinful nature. Am I right? Come on. Hey, y'all, follow me here. Help me, Holy Ghost, to make this plain. Can I go to teaching mode here? We were born into sin, shapen into iniquity. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. Was your nature. Nobody had to teach you how to rebel. That was your nature. Nobody really had to teach you how to lie. That's your nature. Nobody had to teach you how to be selfish. That's your nature. That's your sinful nature. And if that's what you were born into, nobody had to teach you how to do all that. Nobody had to teach you how to be disobedient. That was your nature. All of this sinful nature stuff, nobody had to teach us how to do it. That's just what we were. But that's how we were born. And this flesh, amen, is sinful nature. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. We know that in our flesh is no good thing. Where does our flesh come from? Our flesh comes from the dust of the earth. Our flesh comes from the world. That's why it lusts after the world, because that's where it comes from. And so we're born into sin because sin is in the blood. We inherit the blood from our father. Our father was born a sinner. We're born a sinner. And that's just our nature. That's just what we are. Amen. And that nature is a force. That nature is an influence. So if we're born into sin and this sinful nature, we're influenced by sin. We're influenced by this old flesh. We're influenced by the world. Amen. All of that influenced us to cause us to live a life of sin. Our influence came from the world. Amen. Sin had dominion over us. Sin had power over us. Sin was powerful in us. We cannot quit sin if we wanted to. We have no power in ourselves to quit sinning. Because that's our nature. That's who and what we are. Hallelujah. And so, we hung around influence to help us sin. We hung around influence, amen, to feed that sinful nature. Right? Amen. So, sin was the most powerful source in us. In us, the most powerful source was sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. But may I tell you this? Praise the Lord. That as we become partakers of His divine nature, our nature changes. nature changes. Because you see, when we were born into sin, sin abounded. Sin abounded in our heart. Sin abounded in our nature. Sin abounded in our life. Sin had the most power. Sin was more powerful than I want to. We may have wanted to do right. Paul said, I wanted to do right, but I couldn't do it. Why? Because of sin that was in me. You don't want to sin. You may not want to sin. You want to do right, but you can't do it on yourself. Why? Because of your sinful nature. Sin's abounding. Sin's abounding. Sin is abounding. But may I tell you something tonight? Amen. That when you get a hold of this divine nature, when you are getting a hold of, you're getting a hold of God's grace, and grace has become your new nature. Grace has become your new nature. And Paul said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. With God's grace, God has made grace more powerful than your sinful nature. That divine nature of God is more powerful than your sinful nature. Grace, that divine influence is more powerful than sinful influence. We're influenced by a divine influence, which is grace. Nature is a force. It's an influence. We could not help but sin because that was our nature. But now we're partakers of a different nature. We're partakers of a divine nature. The word divine means it's of God. Where we have sin in our heart as a sinner, and that was the greater influence. When we get born again, God took that sinful heart and gave us a new heart of flesh that can be influenced by His grace. With the divine influence upon the heart and the reflection of the life, grace is now your new nature. You don't have to keep failing God. You don't have to keep failing God. You don't have to continue to live in condemnation. Get a hold of some grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Grace will give you power to become the sons of God. Grace will give you that divine influence that's more powerful than sinful influence. Y'all get it? Where sin abounded? Huh? Didn't sin abound in your heart? But now grace is there, and it doth much more abound. Hallelujah. So, church, what I'm preaching here tonight is this. One of the manifold facets of the grace of God is that it's your new nature now. Hallelujah. You can't live for God. You can't overcome. You can't live righteously in God. You don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep rebelling. Get a hold of some grace. Get a hold of some grace. It's a greater nature. It's a greater influence. It's a greater powerful. Grace is more powerful than sin. My, my, my. Y'all see what God did? We were born with that sinful nature. But now God has created for His people a divine nature. Oh, hallelujah. Stop sinning. Don't let sin have dominion over you. You've got a new nature. Let the new nature work in you. Let grace work in you, which abounds a whole lot more than sin. You So what I'm telling you is this. What I'm telling you is this. Let's all stand. I'm closing. What I'm telling you is this. There's only one person that lived a life without sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And he's still the only one that can live a life without sin. But now he wants to live it in you. And the only way for him to do it is to take out that sinful nature and put in his new nature, which is grace. Divine influence. Divine influence. And so really, here it is. Here are the ingredients that you need to access grace. Hunger. Humility. Desire for God. Hallelujah. When you wake up every morning, you ought to say, God, I can't make it through this day without you. When you get up every morning, and you see the word grace, then it teaches us. That word teach means discipline. You hear me? It means discipline. Grace disciplines us. How do you get a prayer life every day to wake up every morning and cry and weep and cry out to God and humble yourself and pray and get a hold of it? You got to discipline yourself. And so grace teaches us that. Grace, that if I live, if I do it my way, if I live according to my understanding, and I live selfishly and sinfully, and I be carnal all the time, God's grace can't work. All I am is just a dressed up apostolic living by the blessings of the unjust. Because the blessings fall on the just and the unjust. God is kind to the good and he's kind to the evil. And I don't want to live in the blessings of the unjust. But when I just go about my day and don't even think about God, don't ask him nothing, I'm just walking in the blessings of the unjust. Hallelujah. But you see, when you access grace, that new nature takes over. When you're carnal, the sinful nature kicks in. The spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. Y'all feel the battle? You feel the battle? Who's going to win? The one you feed the most. The spirit is your new nature given to you by the grace of God. And you see, he giveth more grace. 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 He gives you more influence. He gives you more divine influence. He gives you more divine influence. He gives you more power. He gives you more power to overcome, to live a life of godliness. Being sober, soberly godly and what? Righteous in this present world. Righteous God, soberly godly in this present world. He gives you more power to live that way. He gives you more power to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Because why? He giveth more grace. But you got to humble yourself every day. Hallelujah. And have a great desire for God. Because the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Y'all get that? That diligently seek him. Not the rewards, but him. There's got to be a hunger for God. Got to be a hunger for him, a desire for him. And the way to get him, he said, to the humble, will I also dwell. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also that is humble and of a contrite spirit. To this man will I look. You want to get God's attention? To him that's what? Of poor spirit. Huh? that humbles himself and that feareth my word. That gets his attention. Hallelujah. And when you get his attention and you humble yourself, he gives you more grace, which is your greater nature, to live for God righteously and holy. And you don't have to keep on living in sin and condemnation. You don't have to keep on living carnally and in rebellion. You don't have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting this thing by yourself. Hallelujah. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace, and his grace is sufficient for you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and his family were saved from the flood. Hallelujah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. I'm going to say the altars today, the altars tonight are the throne of grace. The altars tonight are the throne of grace. I may have butchered this message tonight. I don't know. First time preaching it. I hope I got the message across tonight. How much we need God's grace. How much we need it. We can't do it ourselves. We can't live it ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Hallelujah. You understand that grace is more powerful than sin. Grace is more powerful than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Grace is greater than sin. Grace is greater than sin. And when you get grace working and living in your life, you can be used of God in a great, mighty way. Hallelujah. The altars are open. You need the Holy Ghost tonight? Come to the throne of grace. You need healing tonight? Come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. You need help tonight? Come to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. These altars are the throne of grace tonight. These that need the Holy Ghost, God's grace can give you the Holy Ghost tonight. God's grace can bring you salvation tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. With the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those that need the Holy Ghost tonight, you come on and pray. Come on and pray. Pray with those that need the Holy Ghost tonight. Pray with those that need the Holy Ghost tonight.